The military force of the king and his troops is highly effective, as shown by the way that the corpses of the enemies are portrayed. In one scene, the army of Lagash marches over the prostrate bodies of their enemies, spears ready for the next attack. Another fragment of the stele shows a mound of naked bodies being piled up, presumably for burial. The nudity of the enemy makes a contrast with the very detailed and naturalistic rendering of the victor's weaponry and clothing, and it shows the distinction between the two armies. The scenes on the stele of the vultures are shown in registers. We've come to expect that Mesopotamian art uses different rows of a piece of sculpture to show a narrative, and this indicates that the story is progressing. The stele of the vultures illustrates three important themes in early dynastic art that will recur later on throughout Mesopotamian art. First, the king is personally involved in battle as the leader of the city and the army. He is the servant of the patron deity of the city, who is the other figure singled out on the stele, and he is specifically chosen by the gods. Second, the army that the king leads is powerful. There is really no sense that this army is ever under any threat by the enemy because they dominate them so thoroughly. And we never see a pitched battle on this particular scene. It is simply the king of Lagash and his troops marching against an enemy that they will inevitably defeat. Third, the enemies that are defeated are depicted in a state of complete degradation. When they are dead, their bodies are stripped. Usually, they are crushed beneath the feet of the victorious army or the ruler. And it's always interesting to look at how a culture portrays its enemies. There are a couple of different ways that they can do this. They might show an enemy as somewhat heroic, as a way to emphasize their own success in defeating them. But another very effective way of showing a defeated enemy is to show them as completely helpless, and the nudity of the enemies of Lagash really draws on that aspect of depicting a defeated enemy. Let's turn now from visual to a verbal description of warfare, and an inscription tells us quite a bit about this long war between the two cities. It gives us historical details, but even more important, it supplies evidence for how rulers presented war to their people. The details of the inscription don't necessarily accord with or reinforce the visual image, and if we think about this discrepancy, we should return to the idea of literacy and audience for both the written text and the visual text. The written text is for posterity, perhaps for the gods, but the visual image can be readily understood by anyone who sees it. There are some subtle aspects of the depiction of warfare as seen on this particular relief sculpture, but the main theme comes through pretty clearly, that the army is going to win, that the king is the leader of the army. So there's, in the written description, there's a much different audience. According to the inscription, Enlil himself set the border between Ningirsu and Shara, the patron deities of the two cities, and he ordained the extent and boundary of the two cities. Somewhere along the line, a king of Uma violated this sacred border, and therefore he is blamed for starting the war. It's always the other person's fault. The king of Kish, and remember we discussed this title last time as perhaps representing a leader of a military coalition. In this inscription, the king of Kish came in as an outside negotiator to establish a new border between the two cities.